It's always a great privilege to be in a local church. Nothing like the local church. It's God's idea. It has to be good, right? And it's great to be here with your pastor and his wife and family, and particularly his mother. Great surprise. Very happy that she's here. Now, we need to settle down and relax for a 17-point sermon. How do you like that? Okay? I'm going to be speaking on 17 methods of evangelism in the New Testament. Now, 17 is very fitting because in biblical numerology, two is the number for witnessing. Eight is the number for the new birth or new beginnings. And seven is the number of spiritual completeness. They add up to 17, right? So 17 itself stands out very prominently as a significant number. It's not a multiple of any other number. Therefore, has no factors. Hence, it's called one of the prime numbers. That is, it's indivisible by any other number. What more, it is seventh in the list of prime numbers. You know, 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17. And therefore, this intensifies the number because it's seventh. Indeed, it's a combination of the sum of two perfect numbers, 7 and 10. 7 being the number of spiritual perfection and 10 of ordinal perfection. For you mathematicians. If we contrast these things together, the significance of these two numbers is clear. When united in the numeral 17, we have a union of the respective meanings, spiritual perfection plus ordinal perfection, or the perfection of spiritual order. And if you believe all that, I've got a bridge for you in Brooklyn, okay? Now, there are some people who preach that way, okay? Rather infamous man in the Bay Area, use numbers all the time. Numbers can be interesting, but, you know, that's just for an introduction to hopefully, get your, attention a little bit. So, let's look at, you know, this church is probably similar to other fundamental churches. There are some of you here that say, well, evangelism is just, it's just not for me. I just can't do that. Well, there is a way for you to evangelize. One of these 17 methods is going to fit you. God has a way of giving us means of evangelizing because He's commanded us to do it. First thing, is evangelism through prayer. And your pastor's already mentioned this morning. In Matthew chapter 9, of course we'll be looking at several scripture references today, then he said to his disciples, then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need to be praying that God will send forth those who will labor for Him. Unfortunately, they are few. All true evangelism begins by prayer. Whether it's praying in the manner of God to raise up pastors, missionaries, or so forth, or people from our own church. But, again, if we ask the Lord to give us an opportunity to witness, that's where it begins, that God will prepare our heart and He will prepare other people's hearts. If we're without prayer, we're not going to see evangelism take place the way God would want it. We have a great example of that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That early church was powerful, and it was prayerful. That's why we can all pray. We can all pray. Some of you still may be thinking, I just can't, you know, witness. But you can pray. And if we will pray, we will witness. God will see to that. Secondly, evangelism by going. Okay, we know where this is coming from. The Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Literally, that is having gone. The main verb here is not go. There's an assumption that Christians are going to go. Having gone, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. This verse assumes that the followers of Christ will go to others with the gospel. Now that may be next door. It may be somebody that you want to get involved in a Bible study with. They come to church and they're unsaved, but they want to know something about the Bible. You get in a Bible study with them. Maybe somebody at work. It may be God calling you to be a missionary to a foreign country. The going doesn't necessarily have to be a long distance away. So we have many ways to go these days, don't we? Tracts, door to door, at work, across the street, inviting people to church, sending out missionaries, emails, websites. You know, we live in an age where we have more ways to get the gospel out than ever before. Now I understand I'm preaching on the internet today, is that right? It's pretty scary, isn't it? I mean, that's all over the world, isn't it? I mean, I guess somebody knows where it is. I mean, you know, a generation ago would not have dreamed of that kind of ability to get the message out. So we have lots of ways. So number three, evangelism by friendships. By friendships. John 1:46. Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." His friend's telling him, "Come and see." John 1:40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Many surveys have shown that a majority of people have come to know Christ through people that they know. Through people that they know. Your friends, people you know, will listen more to you than to anybody else. That's what happened with these men. You probably never met the Haynes, Ron and Debbie Haynes. They were later on. Ron and Debbie Haynes found our church, and then they began to bring a little boy from their neighborhood. Robbie Fithian. He came, he got saved, grew up in our church, went to college, Bible college, came back, been teaching in the Christian school, Heritage Baptist Academy now for I don't know how many years. You know, neighbors, wherever, children, no matter who it is, we have an opportunity to minister to them, and it's amazing what God will do. I remember Mike Kazanis and his family lived there in Antioch. And they made friends with their neighbor, and when this man was getting ready to die, he was concerned about all of his family. He invited his entire family over to his house, and he said, "Mike, I want your pastor to come over and preach the gospel." So Jim Ostwin, who was my assistant at that time, now the pastor there, went over and preached the gospel to this man's whole family. Why? Because Mike Kazanis had made friends with this neighbor. So God brings through friends, people we know. He will use that. Number four, what I would call evangelism in life situations. John chapter 3, you're familiar. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He I was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You're familiar with the story of Nicodemus. Now, this is a good case study. Now, Jesus, of course, was the God-man. He, no doubt, as far as his deity is concerned, knew that this was going to happen. These kind of experiences, we don't know. We don't know who's going to come and knock on our door at night. We don't know who we're going to run into today. We don't know who's going to call us on the phone. We don't know those kind of things. So we have to be ready to deal with people when God brings them across our pathway into our life. And deal with them according to their background. Try to get to know them, ask them some questions. Now this one was pretty direct. But we often miss direct opportunities because we're not praying and we're not looking. I have to admit to that. I have to admit, even when I have prayed, I have an experience, and after the person is gone, I'm thinking, I missed it. He was right there, and I missed it. Well, Jesus didn't miss it. You know, some years ago, I had a phone call from a person I did not know, never had met them. They were related to one of the teachers in our school. And she said, my brother committed suicide 2 years ago. Where is my brother now? That's why pastors always pray when they answer the phone. They never know what's going to be coming. You know, I just said, you have to get to know God to find the answer to that question. Would you and your husband be interested in a Bible study? She said, yes, we would. I enjoy one-on-one Bible studies more than anything else as far as reaching people with the gospel. Went over to their house, first night, started introducing this Bible study one by one. And I used the word apostle. She said, well, what's an apostle? I used the word New Testament. What's the New Testament? I used the word gospel. She said, what's the gospel? Well, I gave a little bit of the gospel. And then I kept on going, explaining. She kept saying, what's the gospel? And coming back, and I'm arguing with the Lord. Lord, they don't know anything. They don't know enough to be saved. I'm gonna wait till we can get into some of these lessons. She kept asking, well, they both got saved that night. Okay. We're baptized and joined our church and served the Lord, you know. So don't argue with God, you know. But life situations, we don't know. We need to be ready. Number five, evangelism through a missionary program. Yes. Acts 1:8, you should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. We know that. You have a great missionary program here, looking at some of your missionaries this morning. You know, most of us cannot go to these nations that are represented here. That's why God has allowed us in local churches to support missionaries. We support them because we want them to be able to spend their full time in ministry. We support them because in most nations of the world, they could not work even if they wanted to. It's illegal. So that's why we support them, that they can go and spend their lives preaching and establishing churches. The effect of a missions program in a local church often encourages us. The report that I heard this morning, that we all heard here, wasn't that encouraging? That was a great challenge. That says, I want to do more in this area of giving to missions. So, thank the Lord for missionary programs in the local church. It's New Testament. Paul expected churches to support him on his way to preach the gospel. That's what we're doing. Number six, Evangelism by the Word and Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 again. There's verses there where they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word. The filling of the Spirit is almost always in the book of Acts connected to witnessing. They were filled and they spoke. They were filled and they preached. And so it is, evangelism has to be by the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Word that does the work by the application of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Now, we can make disciples, you know, ourselves. You know, some of you are pretty persuasive. You can talk somebody into being a Christian. It's been done many, many times. But they are our converts. They're not God's converts. If we make them, that has to be done by God's Spirit through the Word. Evangelism by the Word and the Spirit. Number 7, evangelism in home meetings. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 20:20, you've heard of that verse, you know, that's the evangelism 2020 vision, right? And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Home meetings are still a way of reaching people with the gospel. Now we have to understand, home Bible studies, that's not a church. Okay. Some people say, well, we have home Bible studies, that's our church. That's not a church. Not a New Testament church. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Mainly I'm talking about maybe just what I was talking about earlier, going into a home and having a Bible study. It's my favorite thing. Mr. Cheadle, a man who was very up in years, the Cheadle's dad, you know, he got saved that way. Leroy and Linda Gillen and Todd and Rhonda White and Les and Leslie Pacinski and JT and Marie Mayer, Catholic. I will not go to a Baptist church. Her husband had been saved. Well, they put their kids in our school. She wanted them to have a good education. Well, she was a very outgoing lady, Filipino. Well, could we have a Bible study in your home? Well, okay. Well, after 5 or 6 studies, she was saved. Great testimony, just full of energy. One of my favorites, big African American, John Williams, put their kids in our school. John, you want to have a Bible study? Yeah, I'd love to have a Bible study. I think on about the 6th or 7th one, he received Christ as a Savior. He's in the church in Antioch right now. Got a brain. I don't like guys that have that big of a brain. He memorizes verses just like that. He knows more verses than I know. And just witnessing to everybody. There's nothing like it. That's in his home that happened, okay? I'm talking about home meetings, wherever it might be, 2 or 3 or 4 or 1 or whatever it may be. This is a New Testament method. They were house to house in homes, teaching people. Number 8, evangelism through door-to-door contacts. You mentioned already Acts 5:42. Daily in the temple and every house. Acts 20:20, from house to house. From house to house. That implies they were going from one house to another. It still works. Okay? The first fruits of Walnut Creek, California. That was our first church here. The first fruit was Ed McCullough. Was he still around? Okay, when you were there. Yeah. Knocking on doors on Rogers Avenue in Walnut Creek. Judy McCullough answers the door. I've been praying for somebody to come. She was saved. And as a result, many visits, finally Ed started coming, got saved, and they're still serving the Lord today. knocked on the door once. Well, actually, I didn't knock on the door. He was coming out the sidewalk. Dr. Kawashima. Yes. Japanese man, very Japanese family. She always walked several feet behind him, you know, in very reverence of her husband. But I've been in this country many years. Gave him an invitation to the church, started to talk to him. Very clear he didn't want to talk, but he took the invitation. 1 year later, showed up in church. They were both there until they died. Okay, served the Lord. He may still be alive. I think she died. You just don't know. You don't know who you're going to meet and what is going on in their mind. They may not want to talk. Okay, I'm not going to, you know, like Phil Schuller, evangelist, jump on top of them, knock them down, tell them you're going to go to hell if you don't get right. I can't do that, okay. Now, he says he did that on one occasion. You know how these evangelists are. You got to be careful with it. But knowing him, yes, I can imagine it. But, you know, do what you can. You never know how God is going to use that, as he did in that family. Number 9, evangelism through the preaching and the pulpit ministry. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This pulpit is a prime area of evangelism. As the word is preached, many unsaved are saved. Invite your friends. Come to our church. Hear my pastor. Hear the word of God. Many people have been saved that way. You say, I really have a hard time witnessing. Well, just invite them to church. That's a good start. Invite them to church. Pray for them. Invite them to church. Your pastor will always preach for decisions. You know, we're all making decisions today. You know, when we are confronted with the Word of God, we're going to make a decision. Some here today that you've been witnessing, but you're going to be convicted about doing better. Some, maybe not. You're going to be convicted, I need to, and there's a way that I can. You know, church services, Sunday school, convalescent homes, there are lots of ways to preach the gospel. Number 10. Evangelism through special outreach gatherings. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we had it in Sunday school this morning, in Acts chapter 10. There's a special gathering. Cornelius had a desire to know the true God. And God sent along Peter to preach, and Cornelius gathered a group of people. Ephesians 4:11, we read he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Now, I'm kind of making a bridge in this to evangelistic meetings. Isn't that what they are, really? They're special meetings where we are inviting people to come. You know, I've known of evangelistic meetings where they actually had them in homes in the people in the congregation. Monday night, they had in this home, the evangelists preached there. Next night and all through the week in different homes preaching, because some people might come to a home in their neighborhood, they wouldn't come to church. But regardless, evangelistic meetings, there are special meetings. I think that's what we have here. Unfortunately, there are many churches today that do not use the gift of the evangelist. I think that's bad. In the history of the churches I've been in, God has greatly used the evangelistic meetings that we've had. I still remember Ken and Punky Silver. Punky, you know that. You know right away she's a punk. You know, motorcycle type people. And they wouldn't, Ken was saved, but Punky and her relatives wouldn't come to church. So I had a Bible study with them in their home. Had to clear away the smoke. And my eyes were running. And my nose is running. And all kinds of dress. And eventually I said, hey, could you just hold off on the smoke while I'm here? But they wouldn't come to church. They'd ask questions and say, well, if you had been in church on Sunday, you'd have gotten the answer to that question, but I'm not going to give the answer now. Well, we had our first official evangelistic meetings. Dr. Roy Harrell, a Marine evangelist, they came and he ran all over them. Okay, he set their fields on fire. He preached that sermon. And they got saved, they came, that was really the core of that church. And God uses evangelists. And may God help us to see others raised up. Number 11, evangelism through reasoned discussion or convincing speech. Again, let me remind you, where are you getting all these points? Well, I think you're coming out of Scripture. Acts 17:2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 days Sabbath, three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Acts 17:17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. He was disputing with them. He was reasoning with them. Acts 18:4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He reasoned with the religious and the non-religious alike. Some have a background, some don't have any background. We don't reason people into being a Christian, but we need to explain reasonably what the Scripture says. We need to be able to do that and to answer questions that they have. Now, someone say, well, yeah, I don't know enough to do that, so I'm not going to witness. Well, if you're saved, you know enough to witness. You can tell somebody how you got saved. You can give them a gospel tract. But as we grow in the Lord, there are things that we can learn that can answer some questions that people have that might cause them to say, well, you know, I really need to read the Bible. Paul did that. Number 12, evangelism through your special niche. You like that word, N-I-C-H-E? Your special niche. Wait, what are you talking about here? Well, I'm getting this out of Acts 19:9. But when divers were hardened, different people were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. He said, well, okay, if they're not going to let me preach here, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to set up a discipling session here, a preaching session here. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, he said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Do whatever is right to see people saved. He's not saying you would sin to see people saved. I will do whatever is right to see people saved. Can a church sponsor a soccer league or a little league? You know, if they have the property for it, is that legitimate? Of course, I think it's legitimate. Our Christian school was one of the greatest tools of evangelism that we had. Now, some people would say, wouldn't wish that on my greatest enemy. But we saw many people. I think of Mike Gomez. I still remember the night that Mike Gomez, he put his, you know, they were riding around one day. They saw our flag. We had a big American flag out there in Antioch. Big pole, got the tallest one I could get that could stand Antioch wind. And they saw it. They said, well, that must be a post office. No, let's go there and see what that is. Well, they had two little girls. They saw it was a school. They put them in school. And eventually said, you'd be interested in the Bible study? Okay. He thought it was for one night. It was 24 weeks. But he didn't want to say anything. But Jim Ostwin started a Bible study. And one night I got a call about 10 o'clock from Mike Gomez. Pastor, I got saved tonight. Isn't that great? You know, whether it's soccer, baseball, becoming an EMT as a church planter, missionary Jonathan Edwards, out in Utah, where nobody wants to listen to you, a Baptist, he became an EMT, you know, picking up people's young people off the highway when they were in a car accident, worked into the community. He built three strong churches in the midst of Mormon territory. Isn't that great? His wife's on the school board, the local school board, believe it or not, in the midst of Mormon territory. Whatever means we can use. I remember one pastor back in Indiana, I think, who built his entire church on dispensational Bible studies. You know, that's not for everybody. But find out what works and we do it, if it's the right thing. These special opportunities. Again, we have electronic email, Twitter, whatever, you know, all kinds of things. I don't think they have Twitter yet, but they got Twitter, right? I'm on Twitter, by the way, you know. Kind of like to blow my kids' minds once in a while. And I really like Instagram. That's great. I send them all these crazy pictures. And just limit it to my family. I don't want everybody to know how crazy I am. But anyway, we got all kinds of ways. So find your niche. Find your way of doing it. The Apostle Paul did. Number 13, we're getting close, right? Evangelism by compassion and pleading. Mark 6:34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We pray you. We implore you. We beg you. We urge you to be saved. Now again, we can't, by some emotional twist and sales pitch, make somebody a Christian. But we are to plead with them. We are to beg them to trust Christ as their Savior. You know, some people have been saved simply because they have seen the compassion of the people that are trying to witness. They really, these people believe this. I need to believe this. Yeah. Number 14, evangelism through careful preparation. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. I think that's referring to witnessing. Romans 10:13, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Okay, people who are prepared. Feet shod. Our feet are prepared. You know, we can take a gospel tract and read it over and over and over and over again and be prepared. There are lots of ways. We don't have to go to Bible college to be prepared. But thank God, God does raise up pastors, because when you don't know what to say, or somebody asks you a question, you don't know the answer, he's got the answers. You can come to him. That's why God gives pastors. By the way, I don't know how many one-on-one Bible studies I've done, many, many. I've always been asked a question I didn't know the answer to. Don't be afraid, you're not going to know the answer. I would just say, I've never been asked that question. I don't know the answer to that question. But you know, I can find out. Next week we'll get the answer. Nothing wrong with that. So don't take it as excuse for not witnessing because you don't think you know enough. Sanctify, 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. The attitude is important, isn't it? Having a reverence about it all. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed yet falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So, demonstrate in thought and action that God is holy. Always be ready to explain why I have an eternal hope, even in the most simplest terms. Keep the right attitude. Meekness, being thankful that God has given me this opportunity, and God will use it, and in a reverent fear. Number 15, evangelism through prayer-driven boldness. Ephesians 6:19. And for me, this is the Apostle Paul. I've always pictured the Apostle Paul as a bold kind of a lion guy. But no, he says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I think he asked for prayer because He wasn't naturally bold. We must pray for boldness so that I do it. I actually start. Sometimes it takes some boldness. We pray for it. Colossians 4:3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Pray that I will speak as I ought to speak, not to hold back. So pray for open doors. Pray for boldness. Pray for wisdom to know what to say in every situation. Number 16 is evangelism through training. Now, it's kind of similar to something we said already, but I'm looking at this time at 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Discipleship. The Lord has saved us that we might witness and disciple others. I remember Dr. Charles Hager came to our church. He's a retired astronomer. The astronomy, what do you call those things where you look up at the stars? Planetarium at San Francisco State is named after him. He taught there for almost 40 years. Came to our church, he retired, moved out there. He says, I have one question for you. Are you a six-day creationist? I said, yes. He said, well, this is the church for me. Now, how he taught that and continued to teach that, and because he'd been around for so long, I guess. But Charles had grown up in evangelical circles, but really had never been discipled. Been to church. So went through one by one with him. He was so excited. I mean, he's retired by now. He wanted to do this with other people. That's the idea. We not only need to be saved, we need to be discipled, and we need to disciple others. And finally, number 17, we're here. Evangelism by inviting people to trust Christ. Say, okay, what are you talking about here? I'm talking about Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is the last invitation in the Bible. Sometimes this is the scariest, can I say that, part of witnessing. Just to say, now, will you trust Christ as your Savior? Are we afraid the gospel is not going to work? You know, we can witness and witness and they have a clear understanding, but let's go the next step. Will you right now trust Christ as your personal Savior? Often that's all that people need. They don't know what to do. Would you? So, yes, evangelism by making sure I give them the invitation to trust Christ. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you come to a place in your life, you realize you're a sinner, you realize your sin will take you to hell, you realize there's nothing you can do to even take care of one sin, not even one of them. And you turn from all you've ever done, baptism, church membership, good works, reading your Bible, praying, whatever it is. Turn from all that and look to the finished work of Christ alone. Say, you did it all. Only by your righteousness can I be saved. Only by your crucifixion and death can my sins be taken care of. I call upon you to save me. That's the only way to be saved. That's the gospel. That's the invitation to you. Let's pray together. Father, you know our hearts today. Perhaps there are some here that really feel they're pretty good or feel like there are things they have done that can provide their own salvation. Help them to see today they must turn from it all and trust your righteousness in Christ. May they call upon you even now. And help us all to be moved by your word and by your spirit today. To be involved in evangelism, reaching others for you. We pray in Jesus' name.